Howdy, Street Fighters. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for showing up if it's your first time. We are here to collectively get together across the flat earth and create a better world that makes more sense for those of us doing all the jobs. For hardworking people out there and regular folks that weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouths, we're trying to get something that makes sense for the rest of us, something more egalitarian that doesn't result in us getting nothing out of the bargain. So every single week we do this show two times a week. It comes out of Columbus, Ohio, the heartland. We are spreading this mess across the U.S. eventually to every other part of the world. And we're doing that so that one day we can relax a little bit and have like 4-day work weeks or 3-day work weeks and more time to learn how to play the violin and pursue other things besides getting that money all the time. If you're down with that, please join the cause. Come out, meet us up at one of our shows, hook up with us on Twitter and social media. We'd love to have you. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host here is Brian Quinby. We are Street Fight Radio, the number one anarcho-comedy radio show on any station across the nation. We do a live show every single Sunday that we are in town. You usually got to check and see. We will take your calls around 10 p.m. Eastern Time, really 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we get it started. So look forward to that. If you want to call in, the number is 614-412-5252. And we thank WCRS for hosting us for, just as long, 6 years we've been on there. So thank you for that. We just wrapped up a show in Denver, Colorado. That was incredible. Thank you, Jim, for coming out. Thank you, Matt. Thank you to a guy. He never told me his name. He just said our number one gay fan, which might... There might have to be a belt for that.
I don't know. I think there's other people that would disagree with him.
Yeah, I didn't get his name. We need to get me your name so we can get you a title because you did claim it first.
You did. I mean, if you say you're our number one gay fan, then you're our number one gay. I just don't know, though, because...
We both heard it at the same... We both heard it, too, so that, like, it's kind of... That's like the fail-safe. You can't just do it to one.
He just pinned all y'all gay people that are listening to the show. He just gave the... Got the big 1-2-3 on you there. And I actually got the best story, I think, and I'll just say this. I spoke to someone who, she was a woman who said that a guy that she had was a prospective suitor. Since I don't date, I talk like it's fucking the Homer's The Odyssey. A prospective suitor.
Sure, they were courting.
Recommended us to her, and she listened, and she was like, holy shit, a guy that's into this can't be that bad. And I'm like, well, maybe, but...
Sure, that's not a guarantee. We can't guarantee that all our fans aren't bad, but we are trying to be a chill place. But we're trying to be a place for the not bad people.
That also, I mean, but she also did say that it was like, I like this guy. So, you know, this is also a very good, very good thing to show to people if you want to meet women or men or non-binary pals. You know, this is a dating app basically now, this podcast.
Yeah, let's start a Street Fight polyamory group if we can.
I'm against polyamory.
Spread the love.
Actually, I'm not against it. It sounds like I'm against it. I'm not polyamorous.
Oh no, you don't have to be.
I don't love a whole lot of people. Like, yeah, there's just only a couple.
You can only deal with one or two. Sure.
Only deal with one.
He doesn't open his heart and isn't as loving with it.
My heart doesn't open. Yeah, I like Denver though, man. What a fun city.
Oh, it's incredible. I felt like the whole place was a gigantic social experiment because a lot of people were stoned as fuck. And I mean, we were just on the streets waiting for people to stop taking pictures outside of a dispensary. And this like regular guy was like, oh yeah, you got some of the shorties? And I was like, yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, I get them every day on my lunch break. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, they're amazing.
A lot of people smoking, like rolling joints in like their work uniforms on the side. Yeah, we noticed that. Which is nice. I mean,
makes the job easier.
Right. And also like, just like you're doing that one-to-one after you've been fucking shoveling fucking concrete all day. Then that's probably pretty nice to sit down and not feel your body, you know?
Yeah, we also got, thank you for the Willie's Reserve, Willie Nelson's weed. They came in, gave us a care package. I got to try a sample of all different strains. I got their sativa, their indica, and their hybrid. I huffed down one of those sativas the morning before I went and climbed the Rockies, and it was fucking phenomenal. Like, I felt like it was espresso.
Yeah, every place needs legal weed now.
Yeah, I think it's time to do it. It was ridiculous. I did. The system was interesting because you couldn't buy more than 10 grams of an edible, and you couldn't get more than a half a gram of like weed rolled up, which I kind of wanted to get a big-ass fat cone blunt, and I bought some, and they were like pinners. Like, they were halfies.
Yeah, I mean, you could make your own blunts.
That's true. I could have also just bought an ounce of weed and rolled it into one gigantic daisy-chained blunt and smoked it.
You could. You could have bought a Black and Mild and filled it with like a quarter, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, it's not really a quarter. It's about an eighth. Yeah. It's less than an eighth that goes into Black and Mild.
You want that slow burn shit.
I used to pack them all the time, and it's always shocking how it's not like a whole quarter that goes into one of those. It's usually about, I don't know, I don't even ever think it was really much an eighth. And never, probably a dime bag goes in one of those things, really.
You don't want to be too chintzy about it. You don't want it to go up like flash paper or something.
I never was, though. All my blunts were great back when I used to be the blunt kid.
Test your blunts.
Yeah, my Black and Mild stuffing days, you know? Yeah, we got to do kava there. Like, we got to try the real kava. Yeah.
So the guy was like, he said, well, unlike a lot of other substances, it takes a lot to get the onset the first time. And I'm like, okay, I'm used to taking a heroic dose of something, so I can do that. He said, there's a drink, it's called the Punch in the Face. It's $20, you know. There was like a kava drink for $5, and there was like a double kava for $10, a triple kava for $15, and then there was the Punch in the Face for $20. And he's like, it's best to just go all the way. So we were like down with it. They come out with like basically like a silver cereal bowl filled with like muddy water.
Yeah.
And he was like, they were like, it doesn't taste great at all, and you just want to get it down as quickly as possible. And I took that shit back and slurped it down. And my whole mouth went numb.
Yeah, yeah. Mine did too. It feels a little bit like cocaine, except for it doesn't kick it up and not, it doesn't kick your speed up.
Anymore. No, it felt like licking a bag of Coke or like rubbing Coke on your gums.
Licking a bag of Coke.
Oh, you have to. Real heads know.
Lick that bag when you're done.
Buddy. I mean, that's free shit right there. That's free base. You can put it all over your gum, all of that shit.
I used to do that a lot when I was taking a lot of painkillers. I would take my finger inside of wherever I kept them and get like all the powder and just lick my finger and be like, that'll do something. I don't.
Yeah. It's called microdosing now.
That's what they call it. Yeah, doing a little bit is microdosing. It's perfectly normal and everybody's doing it these days.
But we were obviously very stoned, but the kava was it felt elevated. Like, we had a great fucking time. We sat there and talked and weren't like awful or uproarious or like sloshed, or we were just having a fucking fun time listening to like crazy like London Underground pulp music or something.
I'm fine. I mean, it wasn't my favorite kind of music. I'm a vaporwave guy now. Like, if you're going to play laid back music, just do vaporwave.
Sure.
I'm like so behind the times. It's like I saw people talking about vaporwave in like 2012 when I had like 68 followers on Twitter. And now I'm like, fine. It's like 2018. And now I'm like, I love this vaporwave, man. I wish I would have been into it when everybody else was.
I mean, you can still enjoy it.
I know.
You're just not going to be on the wave. You're definitely not on the wave. You can't be, you know, you got to be busting out some new shit now. I don't even know where it's at now, to be honest. I love that. We played Macintosh Plus as closing song like a few years back.
I just go on Spotify and type vaporwave and listen to whatever comes up.
I love
up.
That shit. Yeah.
I'm just, it's like, it feels like I'm shopping at the store with my fucking mom when I was like 15 I or know. Like 7.
It's like oral drugs.
It feels, I mean, it's good music too. I like, it's so weird. Like, we used to make, like, people used to make fun of elevator music all the time when I was growing up. And I even remember I was reading this book about Kurt Cobain. After he died, I had to do a report on a hero or a villain. And I picked Kurt Cobain, hero, not villain. I didn't call him a villain. He wasn't Hitler. Sure. You know? I picked Kurt Cobain, and I went to read his book. And there was a part in it about, like, one of the things that depressed him was when he found out that they made, like, a version of Smells Like Teen Spirit that they could play in, like, grocery stores and stuff. And I was like, that's tight. That's probably a better version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
Not back then. I did, and I didn't get it. You know, elevator music used to be like a
MIDI.
You'd be making fun of elevator music, but now it's like, damn, can I get a playlist of elevator music? I like it. You I can't
like
help
classic
it.
MIDI, like old rock.
That's I don't been know.
Made into elevator music.
You know what turned me on to vaporwave? When that guy that some guy had gotten tapes from Kmart, and they used to play these tapes on a loop all day, every single day.
Yeah.
And he took it home at the end of every day. He took the tape, and then he just had every single day's tapes, and archive.org, I think it is, posted all those tapes. And I was writing a paper one day, and I went on that page, and I just sat and listened to it all day. And I was like, this works for me, man. I mean, every once in a while, something would pop in and be like, you know, we got cheap lawnmowers here, which is also like, cool, you know, we got this toaster for some price that you couldn't buy a toaster for now. It's like, I liked it, and then that's what got me kind of open-minded to, that's the only electronic music I think I like, really, is Vaporwave.
Yeah, I'm down with it, too.
Vaporwave cast, Street Fight Radio.
Yeah, I like Chill Wave, too, the predecessor. I was really big into Neon Indian. I love that group, Toro y Moi.
Yeah, so we had, like, yeah, we had so much fun in Denver. I don't know, they're, like, they treat the weed like dynamite, which is, I guess, the first state has to have that kind of, that sort of thing, you know, where it's like everybody show your ID four times. You're not allowed to touch it until you buy it. You have to talk to a special bud tender to tell you which weed to do. And it's like, you know, if we're going to get it, we had to work slow. We had to do all those years of medical where we had to lie and say we had bad back or, you know, whatever to get sure. weed. And now we're at the point where they're like, okay, you're allowed to do it for fun, but we're going to have people explain every single thing to you, and you're going to have to show your ID to every single person that buy. Like, it just felt like you were buying explosives. But in the end, you're able to get weed, which is a lot better than not being able to go to a store and get it.
Yeah, it definitely, the shit was popping. There was so much going on there. We never waited less than a minute or two for a lift. Like, there was people doing everything everywhere. They said like 10,000 people are moving there a month. I mean, it is a big draw, and it would be a lot easier if we could just do that here instead of making us go all the way to the fucking mountains to do that.
Yeah. And you know what, man? It's like, one of the things that it illuminates a little bit is that, like, if we go to another place and we fly, we have to get off the plane and start being like, who can get us weed? And true. Then we got to go meet some person somewhere to get it.
No,
right?
I'm already on it. I'm like, can I mail it or what can I do?
Yeah. So, like, this was nice because I didn't have to meet anybody to go get it. There were no back channels. And it's just, that's one of those things that illustrates.
What? I was a little miffed that I had to go on like a 3-hour THC break. You know, that was a little annoying to me.
Not being on the airplane sucks. Not being able to get high on the airplane sucks. Whatever. Yeah. You know, but I'm saying that, like,
I did drink on an airplane for the first time and found out that it's extra powerful.
Yeah, my wife was feeling really good after 2 Jack and Cokes.
One and a half
Jack and Cokes. I mean, that's still like, it was like in the, it was, well, actually it was in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was,
and it was the morning for
no,
me.
No, it was first thing in the AM, wasn't it?
No. We left at 5.
Oh, we left at 5. That felt like the morning.
It did to me, too.
I was like, this is the morning.
I woke up like 2 hours before we left.
Oh, I yeah. totally forgot.
No, I loved it there, man. I had a really good time, and the show was really fun. And there were just like a few fun things, like a few little social things that are really funny. Like when you're standing in the weed store and you're so used to being in a place where it's illegal and you don't want to say the wrong thing, and you just kind of stand there. You're like, I'm not looking to get high off of this. This yeah. is, I'm a plant enthusiast is why I'm here.
Well, no, I mean, that is true. I mean, the whole thing felt rushed, and we found out there were some time limits on how much time they could spend with you, and there was also a limit on how many you had to get assigned to a bud tender. It wasn't like a head shop where you could just like futz around and pick stuff up and look at it, and they would have the prices. Like, you got assigned to somebody that was going to help you shop, and they were like in your shit the whole time.
Right. Yeah. So that's the Denver trip.
Well, I'm sorry. And so I think when I first walked in there, and it was just like 6 big like glass jars filled with weed and all of this stuff in front of me, you're just like, What can I say? You know, like, am I allowed to let them know I'm going to get high from this? You feel like you want to be like, I don't want to get high or anything. This is just research, or, you know, these are for somebody else.
I'd like
this
a water pipe. These are bongs. That's right. Actually bongs. This is a bong. Denver.
You're getting a bong.
It's adults. It's adults getting to be adults. It's like, it's the same way I think about, like, in Vegas now, you can buy weed and you can go to sex workers and things like that. And it's just like letting adults do adult things seems like the best way to, like, handle the world. Like, it's just like dudes that go on, like, conventions and shit, right? They come into town and they're trying to have sex, and, like, just let's figure out a way to make that happen with the least amount of harm possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's the same thing with weed. Like, somebody comes into town, they're on a vacation, they want to get stoned. You can't take it on a fucking airplane for some reason. And you got to go there and you got to meet some person and go to somebody's house maybe, or meet somebody at a bar. And it's just a really weird situation that could be avoided if we just formalize some of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. And it was nice being able to go to even, like, cashiers and other people and just know that you're, like, blitzed out of your gourd and they don't give a shit. I mean, it was like exactly what you would expect. People were, like, more laid back in, like, the good way. It was a really... It's when you're there, you're like, okay, I would like to live here forever. Like, I think this is what I want to do with my life. You know, I was really stoked. We got to tour the warehouse. Thank you for the Dabco. I think that's the name of their shop. Next Harvest is who the growers are, but they gave us an exclusive tour of their warehouse, which was totally fucking dope. They were just like pulling construction buckets filled with weed that they were curing and like, smell this, it's orange cookies, smell this, it's Chem Dog.
Yeah,
like, it was the shit. I gotta get that guy's name that set that up.
And
Amanda name. And Andy, right?
Real name isn't worth anything on here.
I know, you gotta have that Twitter clout.
Yeah, so Denver was fucking great, man. Thank you to everybody who treated us like it was our home. And thank you to all the people that hung out with us. It was fucking fun there, man. We had a really good time. The whoever found the Syntax Physics Opera is brilliant. That place kicked ass. It was cool. Like, our wives were so fucking impressed with us in Denver. It was crazy. It was like one of those times where it's like, oh, you guys are actually doing something. That's great.
Yeah, this was something to be proud of. It's something they wouldn't be ashamed to say, like, you know, this is what their husband is doing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like he does a podcast with his buddies about his sports teams on the weekend.
Yeah, so that was fun. That was a fun as hell trip. Flying sucks. We haven't flown. Brett and I have never flown together. We didn't.
It was a little snippety at times.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine.
You were driving me nuts.
I know. He was trying to destroy my joy.
Oh, God. You know, he was on the plane going, hey, guys, I know where I'm going when I'm landing. I'm going to the weed store. And he was, like, doing that and looking around. And I'm just thinking, you sound like a 19-year-old that's flying to Canada and that's like, I guess I'm going to have a little drink just to calm the nerves because I'm of drinking age, you know?
I was that. I am that. I'm a 38-year-old man who loves weed that has never been allowed to go and just buy it.
I had no chill. It was hard, too, because I live for the plant, really, and spend all my time around it. And I... was so amazed to be in there. It was just like, I was like, this is incredible. This could be my life. I bought these pills. They had energy pills. They had sleep pills. They had CBD pills. They had 1-to-1 CBD to THC pills. They had a whole variety and they just dissolved underneath your tongue. And they were like just as fast acting as like smoking a joint. Like by the time it crumbled up, it took about 5-10 minutes and it was not tasty. But by the time it was done, you were feeling the effects. I literally felt it like dissolving on my tongue. And then I could feel the corners of my eyes tightening, you know, like it was just like, like energy pill. That's what I was on when I did that Denver show.
I did a thing. I bought a thing that was like a concentrate that was in a syringe that I would just put like a pinhole amount into a water and it would like instantly everything would feel good. It was 1-to-1 CBD THC and it was my favorite thing there. I fucking love that thing.
Yeah, and the prices were great. I talked to a buddy that went like the first month that it got legalized and he paid like $25 a gram and he was pretty turned off by the whole thing. But the prices there were incredible And the choice is just something that everybody should have. Being able to pick your strains and being able to target some of these like chemicals in there that help you. You know, I mean, it's a lot of what works for you when it comes to marijuana. And so being able to have access to all of that was amazing. CBD was huge there. And, you know, they were so knowledgeable. It was just very much, it felt like going to
weed school.
It felt like going to an electronics store where the salesmen are paid on commission.
Ah, yeah, H.H. Gregg.
Yeah, where they're in your face. They're like, well, we'll get you this monkey bar. Here's 100 milligrams of THCA. It has a bicarbonate, and it's $25. You in? And it's like, I don't know, dog. I mean, there's like a caramel bar next. There's Stroop waffles over there. I kind of want to know what's up with the Stroop waffles.
Give me a half a fucking second to think, man. You're just sticking that sticker on already. No, you're trying to already ring me up. I'm still looking, my dude.
Advice for everybody, though. I just root my feet into the ground and just am like, you know what? I'm here on my fucking time. You can wait. So I'm just going to keep looking and keep asking, and I'm not going to feel anxious at all about this shit. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, well, I don't think they want you to feel anxious either.
But a lot of people, we talked to like three or four people that were like, I just panicked and walked out. And it's like, because this guy was in my face, like, are you looking for upper, downer, hybrids?
You're like, I don't fucking know. Just give me 2 seconds here to fucking
get my bearings.
Think. I do. I mean, yeah. And you're right about that, too. With weed, it's like, it could, like, I always was always like, it's medicine for people who it's medicine for. But the truth is, like, if you can control what kind you get and which methods of delivery, you really can use it as medicine. It's not like if you're having trouble sleeping and you can choose the strain you get, then you can fucking sleep. You know what I mean? It's really something that, like, that they've made this like completely innocuous thing illegal, and they've got us so excited to go buy a goddamn plant.
I know. Well, for me personally, I would love to have access to edibles that I knew the milligrams, because I would definitely like to cut back on the amount I'm smoking. There's just nothing that gets me quite as high as smoking, unless it's a high milligram of edibles. That fucks me up in the way that I like to be fucked up. Like, that gets me right. And I
struggling to cling to reality is what Brett likes. Exactly. For all you listeners out there, all the stuff that you consider the scary stuff, that's Brett's favorite part of it.
I dance in there. Like, I like to be on the moment of like flipping my lid, but being like, you have to keep it together. You're not going to look bad in here. You're not going to be the guy that flips out on weed in Denver. So you better put on your best show right now. And so then I just, you know, like to pretend I'm normal, but I know in reality I've, you know, left this and gone into the ether. I'm on the astral plane and shit. When I went to the Rocky Mountains, I ate one of those 100 milligram Zen Garden bars, and I thought at the time it wasn't fucking me up so bad, but now that I look back at it, I'm like, I was tripping on acid, basically. Like, everything looked so vivid. The red in the trees were just, like, bleeding into my fucking face.
It's beautiful.
It was amazing. I felt incredible up there.
Yeah, I need to go to the Rocky Mountains next time. I decided to see the city. Because I am a person that never leaves. I feel so weird.
You can see why.
Isn't it weird how I'm like sort of rednecky, but like I never leave the city? I never, never, never leave the city in my whole life.
You're a rhinestone cowboy.
I am a rhinestone. That's exactly it. I am a rhinestone cowboy. I can't fucking stand not being close to everything. You know?
Glitz and the glam. What's going on?
So I wanted to, we got to get into this thing we got here that could take some time. It could take no time.
All right.
But it's just a beautiful scoop that we got. And I'm going to keep the person who sent it to us anonymous, because I don't think they want this getting out.
And, yeah, don't tell your friends. This is just for us.
And this is a manuscript written by a conservative who is self-publishing a book.
Sure, writing, sending out some samples of his work.
Yeah, and for those of you who remember I believe the fiction zine, I kind of wrote some speculative fiction through the eyes of a conservative.
Of a Terry. Was it a Terry?
Well, of course, his name was Terry. Everybody's name is Terry in everything I do. But, I was not as happy with it as some of the listeners were, because I felt like it rung sort of hollow, because I'm not one of those people. You know what I mean? Like, it's... I know that it was satirical and it was parody and that like nobody was expecting it to be 100% accurate, but in my true dreams, I want them to write speculative fiction.
Is it Ben Shapiro that writes those books?
Yes.
Those offensive books that he writes?
Yeah, the one Chapo does reading groups on a reading series on Ben Shapiro's books. And that's a type of book. This is more of a sci-fi dystopian version, which is
that. This is the Margaret Atwood. They're putting that damn liberal feminist shit on Hulu Plus when they could be picking up maybe some creators that aren't within the paradigm of safe thinking.
Of the mainstream media. Yeah. People that aren't brainwashed by the mainstream media, people who are paying attention to Uranium One.
Exactly.
You know? Do you get down with Uranium One?
That's
the new Benghazi. You just every day there's 100 people talking about Uranium One on my Facebook
feed. I'm in.
It's Hillary Clinton did something with uranium, but it is. I mean, she's always
put us all in danger.
She's that fucking around with
woman.
She's fucking around with uranium. She's fucking around with Benghazi. It's Gimini. Just like, geez, come on, man. When are we gonna throw this woman in
Lock
jail?
Lock her up. Lock her up,
man. But you say you're chanting that, and I'm thinking about like how I spent basically a whole summer following those people around chanting lock her up during the election time. It was like, man, that was a whole summer of just like everywhere I went, like I would go to these things and it would just be people, like somebody would be like Hillary Clinton, and then the whole room would be like lock her up, lock her up. I'm like, can we just like ignore her? Like, couldn't we banishment, I guess? Can't we like banish her instead of locking her up? We're always trying to lock people up around here.
I remember in Alex Jones.
Yeah,
I'm number one meme out of this election cycle. Hillary Clinton for prison 2016.
He did, though. He did have a meme, though. I got to tell you, having a meme is fun. I got
yeah, you got to go Brian. For memes.
It's something, you know. When you make your living online, you got to get a meme.
I actually, it was pretty funny. The Google Photo Service gave me a notification today, and they were like, let's clean up your photo library. How about we get rid of all these receipts and memes? Because, you know, like, you don't want to keep those.
What'd
like,
you say?
I said, get rid of it. I said,
oh, really? I would be like, get the fuck out of my memes, stay. Google.
What are you doing? The machines are taking over. They've gone too far.
My wife and daughter, anytime they want to look at my phone to like look at pictures that I have, it's fucking all memes.
Wow.
You go through the pictures, it's like meme, meme, screenshot of a comment, meme. I love them. I just
can't get enough.
Yeah, you just go through sometimes, you're like, damn, that was a good meme. That was that day when I found that meme was like, it'll parse them out by date. It's be like July 19th is when I found the really good Uranium One meme.
Sure, that's when I got tipped off.
All right, let's get into this thing. Let's see what things are looking like, Brett. Stacking packs, in quotes, were quickly constructed to house those young people selected at the reporting stations in the vacated portions of the country. Stack and packs were 20 by 20 foot plastic cubicles that snapped into place around a steel framework and instantly created a multi-storied housing complex capable of accommodating 5,000 to 6,000 people.
Wow. That's big.
Listen,
20 by 20.
What's 20 by 20 look like, Brett? You're 20 more
times 5,000. I didn't even do that math, but yeah, 20 times 5,000 high or wide?
Is a regular, can I ask you this? Is a regular couch, would that fit in a 20 by 20 room?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would a bed fit in a 20 by 20 room?
Yeah.
Okay, so if I could just a bed and a place to cook and a TV. If I'm single, I'm fine with that. I'm always like a studio apartment. If I was single, yes, that's what I would have.
This is apartment complexes. This is what basically all of the major cities are already doing. I mean, I lived in a building with like 24 other families, and we were one building amongst probably 24 buildings on this gigantic, basically campus, you know, where everybody that needed to get on the line to get to work lived. And so we're already there. I mean, I also, once again, if we're talking about dystopia and I get a guaranteed 20 by 20 place, I mean,
better than now.
Yeah. I mean, we're already into tiny homes. This is like the terror of tiny homes, but me and my wife is looking at campers too. So I already talked about it on the show, but So I don't know. Okay, so this is a nightmare.
Right.
No, I mean, no more yard, though. Like, you don't get a yard to maintain, Brian.
You get a house. You get a place fucking live. You get a stack and pack.
Cute. Get a stack and pack. All right. I don't want to be stacked and packed, though.
I know you might not. Maybe you can go to one of the fucking abandoned parts of the country that they're talking.
That makes sense.
We don't know what happened. We don't have the whole story. This is just an excerpt.
I'll commute on the pirate roads.
Yes. Yeah, the pirate roads are something we came up with.
Private roads.
I was going to say, we came up with the pirate roads. That's just something where if you live in
the country,
you should be allowed to build a road to all the places that you need to go.
I'll establish a road and charge a toll on it for safe passage and, you know, start there.
5,000 to 6,000 people.
Yeah, that's so... Okay, but I mean, how many per family... Maybe 2,000 people, like 2,000 units.
These stacking packs going to touch the sun.
Like talking about like, what, fucking 40,000 square like feet or something? That's insane. It's like a bajillion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine with me.
I can't do the math right now.
These plastic communities were located adjacent to rail and bus lines and major highways to take the workers to fields, forests, and factories, which is kind of what we're doing now. We build our houses around highways and transit so that people can get to work. This is not different. This so far doesn't feel totally different and doesn't even feel bad. Again, there will be mass transit, which is great. That's fucking great. We can't just keep building cars for everybody. This sounds like a good idea.
Sure. So far, so good.
Each day, regardless of weather, the people would queue like mechanical wind-up dolls to catch their train, bus, or truck.
That's already happening. That's literally... All of the lefties that you base this nightmare on are totally fighting against being a corporate zombie or that like a cog in a machine. This is literally what we don't want to happen.
The mission of Street Fight that people respond to the most is that work sucks and you shouldn't have to get up to an alarm clock and go do it all day. Like, that is kind of one of our tenets. That's what makes us as popular as we are, because the world is already like that. And we're saying we don't want it to be like that.
God. Yeah, so once again, he's basically, his nightmare is having to be like somebody on the lower economic class, basically.
Yeah.
That's the dystopia he's written, is what's already happening in a lot of places in this country.
Yeah, for fucking the most of the people.
For migrant workers, for the people that he wants to sic ICE on.
Not even migrant workers. Basically anybody under upper middle class is living the life that he's describing, you know? Maybe not working in factories, but they're going to spreadsheet factories, you know?
Once again, though, also the messaging of like the hippy dippy lovey dovey communal left is that there's enough houses for all of us. Like, nobody's like wants to knock down houses. Like, fuck houses, they're from the patriarchy because they're hard and made from stone and women have brain power, and we established these plastic cubes, these stacking packs for all of you.
And by the way, we're not going to make a fucking brand. It's spelled STACK, the letter N, PACS. We're not going to let some private company make the stacking packs. No. That's counter to what we believe. We're not going to have that kind of intellectual property then.
No, you go to the post office, right? In our dystopia, he's talking about us. This is what he was suffering through.
This is so already sounding like a utopia.
He waits through the line for the post office. He gets up there and she says, "What are you here for? Stack and pack?" "Yes, I'd like some sort of living. I can't even purchase a home without your consent." He's like, "Well, you gotta live in a stack and pack. That's the new government. Everybody's egalitarian now."
I love it. There are so many fucking people that would be so glad to have a stack and pack.
Oh, I know. Stack and pack would be like some security for a lot of folks.
I know.
I mean, it just sounds like an apartment. I got the equivalent of like two stacking packs on top of each other, basically. I have two levels, you know?
Yeah. Well, they said these are two levels, too. I mean, you don't need a 20-foot ceiling.
No, I just need two stacking packs.
We'll run upstairs. Can you get me two stacking packs? He's going to go to the post office and request two stacking packs, and they'll be like, that's not in the spirit.
This guy writes in his book, some of the more entitled members of the camp ask for two stacking packs.
For the most part, the millennials embraced the occupation and found themselves to be content and well pleased with the change.
I think this is China, right? That has invaded us.
He doesn't explain who's invaded. We kind of just got an excerpt. Okay. Maybe. As we go.
Okay.
Everyone was equal. Good. There was no discrimination, and they all worked the same 10-hour shift. Whoa. That's nobody's fighting for that.
We wouldn't do that. That's what people are doing now.
Nobody's fighting for 10-hour shift. All the stuff leading up to 10-hour shifts is cool, but we're fighting for like 4 to 6 hour shifts.
People are working 8 hours, not getting paid for lunch, so they're technically at the workplace for 9 hours, and then they're like, we'll give you 1 hour of overtime a week. People are working 10-hour workdays already.
I mean, my wife is working 10-hour workdays. If she dares take a day off, she's got to work at least one 12-hour day in that week.
Yeah.
You know? This is bullshit. Yeah, these people thinking that we're trying to send people to the fields, all communists do is sit around and say, we could do this all in a lot less time. That is like a central fucking theme of most communism that I hear.
Get rid of all of the wasted time and the labor that we spend like managing all of this shit and just make the goddamn products. You know?
I mean, this guy's hell really is that he has to fix the roads. This guy's hell is that he has to pick up the trash.
I had to do yams. I had to go pick yams in the hot sun. Under communism. It's like, yeah, but you also sound like you had a place to live and later in the story had access to a lot of free shit. And it's like all you had to do was a hard day work. I mean, aren't y'all about that?
Yeah, I had to go do That's a perfect thing that you said. I had to go pick yams. And it's like, well, somebody has to go. The yams don't just show up. The yams don't miraculously appear at the grocery store, sir. Like, under capitalism, they have to get there. Somebody's picking the yams.
Somebody's doing that.
You're telling somebody that their life is the nightmare. Oh, that person deserves to live the nightmare. Me, I shan't pick a yam.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare want to be on an egalitarian thing. I want to be brought down to their level. That's what he's saying.
How fucking strange is it to hear a person rail against equality? Like, whenever you hear somebody say, like, in a fucking, like, in one of those condescending voices, everybody's equal. You're like, what? I mean, what is wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't see the problem.
I'm not mad about that at all. I kind of like it.
We gotta listen to everybody now.
There's no discrimination. Oh, good. That's great. Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was one of the missions of like society, this one.
It was hell. People wouldn't even tell each other that their race made them uncomfortable.
That's really what he said. I don't get. I have had that conversation a million times. We're like, oh, you want everybody to be equal? And I really do believe, like, even from the youngest time of my life and at my most conservative, I thought, and this may be foolish of me at the time, but I kind of thought that even capitalism or even the United States was striving to get to that, you know, like that we were working to make sure that everybody was at least in a livable situation and that, oh shit, this system isn't perfect, but this is the best we have. But what turns out is in the end years of capitalism that you really get the what people's real feelings are. It's that, like, I'm not trying to get equality. Like, that's not part of this fight.
Oh, no, we definitely need a meritocracy so that those of us that have what we have will not lose anything in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think that I came up as a kid with a very small window of understanding that like liberals and Democrats were trying to share everything and they were always fighting for people's rights and they were just going to, you know, all of that was like the horrible shit that they wanted to do. And then growing up and living through it and watching all the events play out and then being like, that's not what they do. They weren't doing. I mean, they have that reputation, but it doesn't play out in what they're actually passionately fighting for or working on or the moves that they make. It's just all something that doesn't make sense for people now that are educated and that do get a lot of news sources and can get you know, are open to other information and seeing, you know, the kind of the naked like management neoliberal class shit that they do. You
know? I think about it with Republicans too.
The reformists.
I was under such a stupid misconception that both of the political parties were aiming for equality with different tactics to get there, right? And I know that's not a smart. Like, I know that's not what a smart person would think, but I wasn't a very, I mean, I don't consider myself a very smart person now, but I do think that there are a lot of Republicans out there. And when you talk about like working class Republicans or middle class Republicans, and you wonder why they are what they are, I think that's what their belief is, because that belief didn't come to me out of whole cloth. You know, it did that wasn't some belief that just popped into my head and it was just something that I believed. It had to be a result of conversations with Republicans and Democrats and all different sorts of people, that we were aiming for an equal society. We were aiming for a kind of social justice that leads to equality or equal opportunity. And I just think that's not even, nobody's fighting that. That's none of these people are fighting for that. And that's the way it's taught in school, I think.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, also I have heard that represented. I mean, I think that is the position, and I kind of buy into that myself. I can totally understand, you know, having the opportunity. I do like being able to have a business that we have and do like the show and make money and try to make it our career and stuff. I was, you know, hardwired from a kid to be an entrepreneur of some sort. And I mean, whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but it is something that I really do like working through this. But and my wife was the same. My wife as a teen was really into Ayn Rand and was really into like that work ethic will triumph all and all of that stuff. And then you make it a few years into like your later 20s and see what the world is really, how it's playing out for all the people that you know. And it's like, we can't do it like this. This is not, it doesn't work. The trickle down economics don't work. The, all of the stuff that we do to enrich the elites and, you know, make people more on their own, you know, cut away any sort of assistance or guidance that we can offer them is stupid. It doesn't help all of us.
And most of us are so many people are just on a treadmill. You talk about like me and you, we kind of are lucky that we get to do what we do and have a business, but there are so many people that like try to do this that can't do it, or like just people who are like, they do have ambition and they do have plans, but they're stuck in this permanent treadmill of, and we talked about this on that last call-in show that went to shit. I got a job that pays me more than anybody's going to pay me, and now I can't quit, and now I can't follow whatever this dream is or whatever this, like, a lot of us are on a treadmill and there's no way to get out of it. Or like, maybe we just don't have what it takes to get out of it. Like, there was I don't think I had what it takes to get out of that treadmill until I got robbed and I got scared and my life like kind of flashed before my, you know what I mean? Like, it took an extraordinary circumstance to get me to get out of that world. And not everybody has an extraordinary circumstance. Not everybody has somebody wave a gun in their face and makes them decide, like, I got to change. I got to do something up. My life is fucked up. I got to do something. And, like, that, there isn't opportunity for everybody. Like, there are a lot of people that the chance I got doesn't exist. There's not a lot of people. A lot of people don't have a wife who is willing to work and have you have me find myself over 5 years. You know, that's not like a normal thing. And like,
yeah, it's hard to do. I mean, it really is. It takes a lot of effort and it's a lot of struggle. And you're right. I mean, it comes down to like, why should everybody have to like pursue some sort of like millionaire shot at fame or notoriety or like some skill? It's like, if you were willing to just go and do the cable and watch your football and not dream of being a poet or something, like, you probably should get a house and free food and education and anything else you want. Like, you're still deserving.
Right. You know? And like, things should progressively get better as you show loyalty to the worker, as you get better at the work. And that doesn't happen for everybody. There's only so many spaces in management, and that's really the only upward mobility at a lot of these jobs. I mean, at the cable company, the first job you got was installer, then service tech, then phone tech, and then the maintenance, right? So you got installer, service tech, phone tech, maintenance. That's four jobs. After maintenance, all that's left is supervisor, dude. So you got a ladder with four rungs on it for most people, and then five rungs for other people, right? And this competition isn't necessarily about, like, the competition isn't about who's better. It's about, you know, I've told the story about the guy who snitched on people for playing video games during the workday and stuff like that. That's who gets there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a fucking, it's not a skills base. It's not like, none of that stuff is real. You know, none of that ladder isn't fucking real. And like, it took me so long to figure that out. But these conservatives think that's real, and they don't realize that they're already living the sort of life that's in this dystopian fiction, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we would be looking to improve upon, like, these are the conditions we have. We want to improve upon this
show. We're not looking for two more hour workdays.
No, no.
We're looking for two less hours and one less day, right?
Sure.
4 days a week, 6 hours. Seems right. Like exactly. I could do that.
That's,
I
mean, fair.
I really do think.
Fair as fuck.
I have, like, a real, in my mind, and Brett might disagree with me, and listeners might disagree with me. I really think that you should have more days off than you work.
That makes sense.
Like, that's
makes the work go down smoother.
Yes.
And you also, like Brian says, catered lunch.
Catered lunch, yes. Please, the post office can bring us our lunch every day.
Well, no, I'd like to see some local. On. I'd like to see some local delis and.
Well, the post office can stop pastorias. At the goddamn hire contract with the local deli.
They'll do Grubhub.
Yeah.
They'll go pick us up a nice.
I'm saying, who's
going to
administrate the catered lunches?
The post office. No, the job just calls lunch up for you.
Yeah. Okay, so each had the same housing, clothing, food, medical care, education, state religion, and computer video games, and it was all free. None of that sounds bad except for the religion, which we wouldn't fucking do.
Here's a twist. It's the church of the subgenius.
It's one of those one of those weird hippie churches that's like ironic.
It's Pastafarians.
Oh, we all have to be the fucking Pastafarians.
Oh no, we have free housing. We live in a stack and pack.
I might be a motherfucking Pastafarian if I had all that. That sounds terrific.
I would.
There's fucking video games, dude. This free motherfucker video is talking about video games. You get not just healthcare. We're fighting for healthcare. This guy's like, what about also video games?
You can't
I'm
even,
like, that's
you,
a really good idea.
You can't even find video games that were funded on Patreon.com.
Fucking Sega Channel. Everybody gets Sega Channel.
Everybody gets Sega Channel. That's fucking fine. Go play.
Now it's mad. 16-bit video games? What the fuck, man?
Yeah, that's true. All the video games are 32-bit. They didn't even have it. You couldn't use the Sega CD.
You got to play old Dreamcast. That's the only thing you're allowed to play. Fine. That's actually my fucking.
Yeah, that would go.
Shit. Yeah, that's fine with me. That's funny that he. And it was all free. Work requirements were equalized by rotating jobs every 6 months, and no one had a car because none was needed. That's us.
Cool.
We've actually come
this
up
is what
with
we've
this
said.
World.
Yeah. I mean, 6 months is a good amount of time. You got to pick watermelons. You got to clean trash. You got, I mean, whatever it is, 6 months, give it a go. Probably gonna, I mean, and that's how it is for jobs. I mean, I tell you what, even the jobs that paid me nothing, like when I was first learning them, it's just, once again, I think it's just my nature, but it was like, all right, I can do this. You just need somebody to get the plates and make them go from here to here. I can be the master of that. I was really into that, and I can do that. But after a while, it's like, you guys treat me like shit, and I get the plates from here to here every fucking time, and you talk down to me and shit. What's going on?
Jesus,
you're counting my lunches. Like, you're looking at what I'm eating. You're like figuring out when I'm going out to smoke. Like, all of a sudden, you're in my shit. But all you said you wanted from me with the plates to go from here to here, and I'm getting the plates from here to here.
God, you sat. That was the most accurate representation of how I feel when I get a job. At first, I'm helpless. I'm a little baby. I'm sucking off the tea to the manager to tell me what I need to do. You know, I don't want to. My wings aren't fully formed yet. And then once I learn what I'm doing, I'm like, you know, y'all could treat me a lot better for this. Like, I deserve a lot more for this.
Wow, this is some bullshit right here. Now that you kicked me out of the nest and I'm flying through the sky and trying to flap my wings here, I don't think you're giving me enough.
I don't like this
at
all.
You didn't set me up right.
Yeah. So everyone was housed in identical stack and pack compounds where there was just enough room to take short walks outside but still remain within the safety of the complex. There were no McMansions to manifest wealth here simply because wealth was not allowed. This guy's writing a no McMansions world, no. And I'm like, tight. Like, there's some Republican reading this. Fucking no McMansions? What the fuck, dude?
Are you serious? I love bay windows. You know, me and Marty both have a passion for bay windows. I've got 10. He's got 8. Yeah. It's important to me. They're important to me. They're my bay windows. I decorate them. I put up a shade. They're my shit. Don't take that from me.
Fuck, man. I've been working from the day I was born to get my own McMansion, and now they're taking them. The Chinese are taking them away. You give me a stacking pack? A fucking stacking pack?
You know what? Maybe you just need a garage for your fucking car. I got projects to do. I need extra space. I need a 4-car. I don't got 4 cars. Maybe I want to have them.
You ain't allowed.
Don't stifle me. Stop stifling me.
This paragraph fucking kicks ass because it is all stuff we've tried to sell on this show as utopia.
I mean, my shit would be peaceful if it was just like, go to work for 6 months at a time, do the podcast, get free food, get all of these like perks. I am against stacking packs. I don't want to be stacked or packed.
I'm okay. Well, I'm going to come out pro stacking pack.
Yeah, you are into that. You do, like, you are an evangelist where I'm like, you know, we'll probably buy a house someday, and you're like, I want to get, like, a room in a building. And then I just have to pay for that room in the building, and I can sleep there. But it's somewhere where I can walk around. And I'm like,
all
right.
That's all I'm ever looking for.
You want to be in a stacking pack.
All I'm looking for is a fucking stacking pack.
20
really?
By 20. Give me that 20 by 20 deal.
If I could afford a room, like, I always think it's funny that people in New York are like, I don't want to live in some fucking building. And I'm like, that's my dream, is to live in some fucking building. Like, right. They're all trying to get out of the building into like a brownstone. And I'm like, fuck that, man. That sounds like I'm gonna have to do something with it. Something breaks, I gotta fix it. Put me in a motherfucking stacking pack right now.
Yeah. I want to wake up and make breakfast and then
you don't have to make breakfast though, dude.
And no kitchen? You don't want to have a kitchen?
The place I looked at last time had a continental breakfast in the morning. It wasn't even a hotel, come on, dude.
Dude, that's too much.
You just go down to the lobby and
that's
you're
a lot of nitrates and shit.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't fuck with all those prepackaged treats.
Well, I would ask them to get granola or something or smoothie. Can y'all sell my smoothies
here? Hey, you running down to the store?
It is a concierge service. My dream is a building, dude. I just want to live in a building more than anything on this planet.
Wow.
I do. I want to take an elevator up to my room. I want to fucking stand on my balcony and look out at the fucking city and be like, this whole place is fucking running with trash.
What? You want to look down on people?
I want to just stand in my fucking room and look down on people.
Look at the degenerates lining the streets. They're mine. I control them.
I've always wanted to live in a fucking apartment building. I've always, like, even, like, an apartment building that's not, like, there's suburban, like, apartment buildings that I used to hook cable up in. I didn't want anything special. They fucking look just like any regular-ass garden apartment anywhere. But I was like, there's a hall inside to the place, and I get to take my elevator up and walk down my hall and go to my apartment. And it's, like, my space. And I'm like, that's what I want. That's exactly what I'm trying to get my hands on.
They use the most booty stuff, though, in those. Like,
yeah, that's why.
Goofy carpet.
And I'm a city guy anyway. I would live in the city if I got into a building. City guys. Hey. Best of all, there was no stress from the competition to excel.
Okay. He knows us well. Like, no, you don't. I mean, you don't have to be the best at, like, swimsuits. Like, they've been doing swimsuits. It's kind of done.
I don't get these guys because most people are fucking decent at a few tasks anyway. Very few people can excel at anything is the way that I feel. Like, there's a limited amount of people that can excel at everything, and then everybody else is pretty good at a few things. And like, we should organize the world around everybody being pretty good at a few things.
Sure.
Instead of everybody shooting to excel and cut each other's throats.
Well, you're a star player. You get a star player's salary, unlike those filthy people that clean up the building.
Yeah, I'm good at fucking sweeping. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it is. It's a stupid system. It doesn't make sense. And to reward that stuff. And I don't think that, I really don't see how you can shut that down. You look at like human beings in any circumstance, and certain ones of us innovate and excel and go beyond anything you can imagine, but they aren't like who we should be basing like the system on, like the morality or the expectations or the any of that. Like that's not even close to everybody.
Right. I mean, the only thing I know about myself is that I'm decent at a few things, and like I don't think I excel at anything particular. Like there's nothing that I think I excel at. And like I'm okay with that. It doesn't like make me mad, and I'm not thriving for it. There are things I'm interested in that I would love to do, but like there are things I'm interested in that I would love to be better at. But like I'm also not like racking my brain like how can I fucking be the best like at car maintenance or something like that. Even when I was working at the cable company, there was never that thing in my mind that was like how can I fucking be the best at hooking up cable. It's like just how can I get through the day of hooking up fucking cable? How can I be good at hooking up cable? Like, and that's most people. I mean, even if they're thinking like I'm fucking excelling, 90% of people are just mediocre at everything. It's just, that's the human fucking condition. The whole fucking society is kind of like built to get you not to think that you're mediocre at everything, but you are. You're fucking mediocre. That's what we are as people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and you're just playing your position. I mean, a lot of it is really unwarranted.
No crying. It's not a bad thing to be mediocre at something. It's just I'm good at it. Well, things get done. I'm fucking mediocre at filling potholes, but I'll fucking look, there's potholes all over the place. All I see on Facebook right now is that there's potholes all over the place. I would go out and fill those motherfucking potholes if I knew anything about it. I wouldn't be an expert at it, but if somebody was like, here's how to fill the potholes, I'm like, I'll take a fucking shift. You know, I'll go out there and fill up some potholes.
Well, I mean, it comes down to like even the people that do these incredible, like one of a kind, you know, arts and things. It's like, all right, well, they're going to do it no matter what. I mean, I don't think that if you ratcheted it down so that everybody was more egalitarian, that all of a sudden, like a hair artist would be like, oh, I'm not going to cut hair so good anymore. You right. know, it's and, like and, they don't or, give a shit. Or like, you know, yeah.
If you're talking about the speed that work gets done, if that's even the thing you're talking about, it's like everybody wants to go home. Everybody wants to get the fucking job done fast. Nothing is speed. Like nothing is really speeding us up, you know, like
Yeah, and I mean, the amount of work is going to get done, and we're going to, like, delay it, but, like, because most of us are tied there for 8 hours, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's
like,
why we delay.
If you would just let us come in and smash whatever needs to get done and scram, then, like, we would get a lot more done.
Doesn't that feel like it would be more excelling in that world if you said I get to leave when I'm done? It's like, shit, okay. I mean, I've seen some shit where, like you would go in and they'd be like, you're working on Christmas Eve, and they're like, when you get all your jobs done, you can go home. And motherfuckers was like, watch this shit. And get their jobs done by like noon. It was like I've seen it work in yeah. my life, you know. Each worker was microchipped for easy tracking, and okay, this provided an additional
that's the mark
measure
of the beast. Go ahead.
This provided an additional measure of security for the millennials, since few had ever worked outside the big city. No one was allowed to speak out against the authorities or assemble or demonstrate. In fact, there was no freedom of speech at all because the authorities knew doing so would prevent microaggressions. Something okay. that grievously offended most millennials. The what? Chinese observed how this pleased the millennials to no end and caused them to be even more accepting of the new regime.
Yeah, the Chinese rolled in. They're like, you got to get the mark of the beast, but no more microaggressions.
I think it's funny that they have this feeling that millennials are handing over their freedom and allowing themselves to be surveilled, when these are the people that are like, the president needs to be allowed to put a camera in your house to prevent terrorism.
Right. We need these type of things.
Yeah.
To be smart, to no, for defense.
Microaggressions. Some fucking dictator's gonna come in and he's gonna fucking outlaw microaggressions, and then that's it.
Shit hits the fan.
That's it. We're living in fucking stacking packs.
Then we're shipped off into a stacking pack.
Free cell phones were given to each worker, and computerized texts were randomly sent.
Not an Obama phone.
That is what that's in their mind, what they're writing. Free cell phones were given to each worker, and computerized texts were randomly sent throughout the course of the day to each person.
I get those too. Those are the healthcare.gov texts. I get those.
Throughout the course of the day. So each person will receive the tiny shot of dopamine associated with receiving a text.
I'm a millennial. I just love to have my phone blip and bleep at me. I have an empty, soulless life. I don't pursue anything of value. I just only do it for the selfies.
The government.
The government texts you and is like, you're doing so fire-ass job. It's lit, fam.
It's drugs.
In my leg still.
Yeah. Imagine them thinking that, like, you could just get a text from the government and be like, this is great. I'm having...
Yeah, like, this is shit. Let's go sit in front of this really cool rock and do an Instagram photo.
I feel so fucking popular the local government is sending me a text to let me know what's going on.
Life is just so much more social now that we have socialism. I'm just living my dream, getting texts all day long.
This is a person who fucking tries to call their grandson on a fucking cell phone, and they're like, fucking text me.
They drop it.
I don't want to talk to you.
It's like a video, and they're dropping it, and they're like, God damn it. God damn it. Turn it off. God damn it. You know, and then they, you know, end the call, have to call back. No, you know what actually it is? It's like that asshole that goes in public and just looks at people looking at their phone. He's like, these fucking nitwits. Just feeding on the filth, you know? That hippy-dippy, I'm going to love everybody type shit. You know, I just feel like it feels so judgmental to just think, I mean, to reduce it down literally to like, oh, my phone is buzzing. I am a sheeple. I have been trained. I am Pavlov's dog.
I love that they think that it's just the act of receiving any text. It's like fucking,
they don't understand human connection. They really couldn't understand having a long-term conversation with people that you've known forever. And that having that capability now, like, they've burned every single fucking bridge. They're not going to go reach out to somebody and maintain that. So I don't need a goddamn phone. It's like, nobody wants to talk to you.
They also don't want to. Yeah, they don't want to talk to anybody either. Don't like get. Yes, people don't want to talk to them, but they also don't want to. They're in their mind. It's like, my house is my kingdom, and all of the people in my house are the only people that I talk to. If you want to talk to me, be in my house. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm talking to all sorts of different people all day, and I enjoy it. I'm not getting a shot of dopamine from it. It's not like when I get a fucking text saying I could get 25% off a Jimmy John sandwich, I don't go, fuck, man, that felt good. It's not like a little micro orgasm.
Dude, I'm saving so much money. Jimmy John is my friend.
Fucking, you know, my
Jimmy John just hooked your bruh up, dude. Extra sauce, double cheese with the coupon code 2X2X.
Just got a fucking call from my best friend Sprint saying my bill's past due, man.
Yeah, they were cool about it. They were like, text us back. We'll take it straight out of your bank account. If you don't, we'll fuck you up with fees. I was like, cool, Chaka Bra, I'll get back to you.
I love it. Man, I was sitting down yesterday and my electric bill was fucking due and I didn't even think about it. They got a hold of me and fucking told me. It was cool. We were having a fucking time together. We was laughing and shit.
Yeah, I like the energy company now. They send me memes. That's like my shit, you know?
I love these fucking memes, man. It was definitely used. So they're all addicted to their devices in the first place, and it was definitely used by the Chinese to pacify their workforce.
Okay, easy. Makes sense. I honestly, as a human being that has been thrown into existence, the phone pacifier has probably been the best thing ever created.
I love it. Yeah, it's really helping me get through.
It makes the most sense.
It's really helping me get through this hell world.
I mean, I think that it sucks we've created alternative lives that are really like harsh and cruel and mean and all of that. But at the same time, I think it's very beneficial that we can kind of just chill out in our own worlds a little bit and not have to be like up in each other's shit as much when things were more analog.
We're fucking yelling at each other on the internet so we don't yell at the people at our house.
Right. Or I remember seeing more fights in like lines at stores. I don't see much of that these days. I don't see much screaming and fighting out in public as I used to, I feel.
Fussing in a fighting.
Exactly.
The phones had no apps. But they were capable.
That sucks. We love apps. We live for apps.
Didn't y'all know we like apps? Come on, man. Jesus. We would fight. We would revolt if there was no apps.
We wouldn't put up with a fucking stack and pack.
But they were capable of taking pictures, though each
we
picture
need that.
Contained. We love selfies.
We're so self-indulged.
Though each picture contained a randomly placed emblem containing an image of the new Red Star Rising flag. Another pacifier was the free marijuana given to each worker at the end of the day for use during the ride. Home. Give
what?
Me that pacifier.
What? Are you kidding me?
You
know what? You are a vital part of this socialist economy. You chipped in this 6 months, and here's your weed at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a fucking life, dude. You got video games. You got weed.
We can't do this.
You got cell phones. You got motherfucking healthcare. You got housing, you got everybody's got everything. That this sounds like fucking great.
Let me tell you about a dystopia called Right Now, where this type of thinking is completely outlawed. If we wanted to go grab a piece of land and start housing people and telling them to do vital things and giving them weed and health care and all of this shit, we would get blown the fuck up. Write that dystopia.
Yeah, that's a dystopian fiction right there.
Write the world where a bunch of people break off to build a better place and then get blasted to smithereens.
Here's where I get thrown out of the equation.
I was out with Mark of the Beast when he said microchip.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, motherfucker, you would so in a second take a microchip if they told you it was convenient. You fucking have Alexa in every room turning your lights on.
Yeah, I don't mind if she listens to my conversation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You would take, if they fucking tomorrow were like, we'll give you a microchip and you don't ever have to buy a plane ticket again, you'd be like, where can I get that microchip? Is there like a line?
I would say that I have caught on. I know I'm a cash is king dude, which I still am. I have a big fat stack of cash and I love it. But I like the new tap card. I've been doing the tap card, and I think that works the best.
Yeah, see, you love microchip. You want to be microchip.
I don't want to get anything inside
Nobody wants microchip more than Brett Payne. He's just afraid of needles. He would swallow it if they were
I'm not afraid of needles.
Okay. Yeah, you do have a bunch of tattoos. Yeah, get a microchip, man.
Okay.
Those who struggled with their new life, usually non-millennials, don't count me in there. I'm usually cool with millennials.
Yeah, he's trying. Yeah, he's like got one foot in the door.
Soon disappeared. Move to a better situation, the masses were told. They were to be no ripples whatsoever in these tightly controlled communities. The millennials simply shrugged it off each time someone disappeared and were left to wonder what there was to get upset about. They were all equals now, and wasn't that what was important? And listen,
I love that.
If they took my racist grandma away, first of all, I wouldn't talk to her very much anyway.
I know. I don't ever get in touch with these people. And I don't care if they were dragged away. I would just be like, oh, what a shame. I mean, all we got to do is do the yams again, and then we get the weed today, right?
That's how they're fucking living, dude. That's how they're fucking living. All I have to do is work all this year, and you'll give me a bonus to buy a fucking hot tub or something like that. They're mortgaging our future down the fucking road. I'd do the same fucking thing.
Yeah, right back. Sure, right back.
Go to fucking hell, yeah, Grandma. Scram. Go to the camp or
fucking
the masses.
Scram. You demand, for some reason, you people fighting for rich kids to get handed everything in the fucking world and preserving that those institutions doesn't matter anymore. Like, we're going to do something else. You can take those thoughts out to the unclaimed lands or something.
Oh my God, this next paragraph is fucking mwah. There were this new American workforce served the Chinese well, and the products they produced enriched the Chinese elite in the same manner all socialist governments do.
Yes, really? Oh, I mean, not like in freedom-loving America where the elites are not enriched by the labor of the people.
Well, I mean, they're literally enriched by the labor of the Chinese.
That's true.
This is such a beautiful peek into the mind of one of these dinguses.
There's a schism. There's like a break. I mean, is it? It's like it's having a blinder on. It's just there's something that they're not willing to admit, which is some sort of reality where America or the system that we have is at fault. You know,
yeah.
Like they just can't I don't know. Sorry. I'm too deep into it. This is fucking crazy. How can you say that with a straight face? Oh, in socialism, all they do is give money to the elites. It's like,
there's 1%.
Bro, what's going on in here? Have you looked at a fucking graph recently?
Have you looked at the wealth distribution by any chance? Yet one could only blame the millennials for so much. After all, they had been subjected to socialist brainwashing almost from the first day of school. Good teachers, doing their best in a failed education system, were forced to teach the agenda. Then, the colleges polished up the final product for disbursement into society. They hate college.
They
just really cannot fucking stand it.
No, I've heard public school reprimanded pretty harshly at some family reunions. Unions like I
college
definitely,
too college,
yeah, this
like,
fucking is just like it's a nightmare to them.
They do not want to hear
it's
what college people
brainwashing
are.
It's literally brainwashing.
Yeah, it's not though. It's really like, I don't think it is. Like, I do know that, like, I had a conversation with my daughter about Martin Luther King, where like maybe it's possible that somebody who is like a big Trump fanatic would be mad that they taught about Martin Luther King, but I'm also mad because I don't feel like they taught about the real Martin Luther King.
Sure.
You know, I think you have to spend all your time like kind of talking. I was like, you know what, man, you know how you go to those marches with me against police brutality? Because she said, you know, this was such a cute conversation that we had today, because it was, she really did say, like, you know, there were white people that marched with the black people, she said African Americans. There were white people that marched with the African Americans too, and I thought that was really nice. And I was like, kid, I mean, you go to police brutality marches and marches for racial justice all summer. We did that. Like, every time. It's like, these movements aren't just one person. And like, that's something I fight with the school about all the time, is like, I feel like they do almost teach a little too much that it was like they emphasize the importance on these big figures, when it's like, man, there were just so many people out in the street that, like, you're doing something. You're on the right side. You just have to make sure that you're there and doing the right thing. I don't want to be neutral. I don't want to not be there when these things are happening. It's not just one person. So it's funny to me that, like, people also, like, get mad about, like, any projects. Like, I guess her teacher taught them about this project a teacher did where they were like, all the brown-eyed students get over here and all the blue-eyed students get over here, and then treated the brown-eyed students worse. And it's like, some of the parents were mad about that. And it's like, that's what society is though, dude. Like, that's really is what goes on. So, I mean, they taught those kids a valuable lesson about what the fucking world is like, and taught them something. That's not
just
bad.
Something to think about too. I mean, none of this sticks. I mean, I don't think that you could have, we all went tumbling through the public education system and came out completely wild on the other end. I don't think there's been any sort of, like, conformity that comes from public school that I've seen, for sure. Except for that, maybe our people are like dumbed down and less critical thinking.
Yeah, they just don't. They see history as a series of events done by extraordinary men.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's basically men.
Once again, that goes back to who gets the rewards. Extraordinary people get to have like. To be comfortable and be able to swipe their card and go buy groceries without being like in a hiatus, you know, or I'm sorry, being in like an anxious state about it.
Yeah.
You know, and so, fuck, I lost that.
This motherfucker, this next paragraph, Bertrand Russell, quoting John Gottlieb Fichte, probably described this best. Why didn't he just quote the first? Why is he quoting somebody? First of all, that's not good writing. Education should aim at destroying free will so that after pupils are thus schooled, they will be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their school masters would have wished. And we're on the last paragraph.
That's kind of, I mean, that is the truth, though, and I think that it plays out in a very pro-America way. I think that the weird thing about public education is that these people think it brainwashes them to be anti-American, but the whole thing is like cleaned up to be an American story that is filled with all the propaganda. We go through like, you know, 13, 14 years of that shit.
And right.
It makes everything.
And how long does it take to wipe that? How long does it take to critically assess that stuff?
What you're doing is the right thing, though, because I remember in high school, I remember knowing and that like Google was coming out. We had, or what did we use? I can't remember the name of the Fox one that I used. I can't remember the name of it.
What does the Fox say?
But a lot of those things are based around extraordinary people, and it's like, you know, there was a lot of other people that weren't like as extraordinary as Martin Luther King, and that's like what made that stuff happen too.
Yeah.
And
mediocre motherfuckers like you that go out and do Meals on Wheels are also important, you know, or a mediocre motherfucker like me who goes and just stands there during a police brutality rally as like another body. That also matters. That means you're doing the right thing at the right time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And we put too much emphasis. We're just so tied up with like giving the spoils to the winner. And it's like, but we don't win. And like,
no, we're not
the people
winners.
That are winning are the elite. The people that are winning, like the president is a fucking guy that had like a real estate mogul's fortune handed down to him.
It's rigged for them.
Yeah.
It's all rigged. We can't win, and we're not gonna win. Like, the president's a fucking mediocre motherfucker that just so happened to get lucky and get a bunch of fucking money, have a rich dad.
Yeah.
All right, here's our last paragraph, Brett. This is the end here. It had worked exactly as stated. Sadly, for the millennials, they were the final piece of an incremental plan to destroy the U.S. from within.
Which we want. That is true. He got us
trying,
right.
Yeah, they've been trying to do it. I'm on their team.
Yeah, I do have to be honest about that. Sometimes when they're like, these guys are trying to take down the United States of America, it's like, well, yeah, I am.
I mean, I'm on that team,
this
too.
Has to stop. This is absurd what we're doing here.
Unfortunately, for the rest of America, the greatest nation in all of mankind's history was gone.
Oh, no. Tear.
The greatest nation in all time. This fucking adult human being that can write and read wrote that.
Yeah.
Wrote that word. Nowhere on the face of the planet could a government be found promoting the fact that all people were created equal, that they were endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, chief among them being life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. In its place came the worldly grief and hopeless sorrow that was always and forever accompanied socialism. That's the end of our excerpt from an insane book.
Yes, this scrawled on a napkin memoir that we found at a bar.
Unfucking believable, that thing. Unfucking believable.
I mean, that's about what it is with those folks. It's hard because they do have agency and they have their own like ways and doing things and all of that. And as stupid as their thoughts are, they're usually agreeable in person, you know, in a lot of ways. Sometimes this just keeps me up at night thinking about people that look at the world this way and how realistically can you make amends or deal with this. Like, how do I not be wrapped up in this guy's shit? I don't want to be a part of him at all.
Yeah, I don't.
If he thinks this is a nightmare, or if this is what he's putting out there, is his like, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It has a little bit of a message to it, I guess. That's probably what he says.
I just think it's weird that like he's talking about how like this was all this equality wiped away the chance for equality.
Yeah.
At the end, it's like, fuck, man. I feel like if you gave me. Listen, he's saying 10-hour workdays. I disagree with that. I think under communism, we would have shorter workdays. That's the fucking plan here. That's what we're all talking
about. That's what Mark said.
I've never been sitting around talking with a bunch of room full of socialists or communists where they're like, what if we upped it to like 10-hour workdays?
I think we need to prove we can outproduce capitalism. We're going to do 10-hour workdays. How about it, mates? Hep, hep.
Never been a thing that anyone has ever talked about. But other than that, all of this is great. Aside, also, I don't need texts from the government.
No, don't.
Trying to get hit a dopamine from like no. The mayor.
Just let me. Okay, let's do this. We get the Obama phone with no apps, but it can take pictures. As long as we can jailbreak it or take it to the flea market and get someone to jailbreak it so that we can get our apps, I'm cool with it.
Which we could do, right?
Yeah.
He's saying that we wouldn't do. He's saying that y'all millennials wouldn't do.
Millennials would
be
like,
y'all ain't gonna do it. No, we gotta have the government phone. Even though they don't
do what the government says. I only do like government recommended stuff. I don't like to think for myself. I just like marijuana and churros. And like if I could work 10 hours a day and get churros and marijuana, I would do it for the Chinese government.
Well, I mean, listen, can I just say this before we close this whole thing out? I don't care if I'm producing for the Chinese government or fucking Walmart. I don't give a shit who I'm producing for. It's not, that's not something in my mind that I even fucking care about. It's not more dystopian that it's the Chinese government to me.
Yeah, I mean,
they're already doing shit for us constantly. We're living off of them to enrich the elite. That is what's happening.
Well, and for him, it's like, well, now we have the freedom to pay people nothing so that they have to live in these little boxes that are stacked on top of each other, you know, and take all of this public transit to go and do a job for 10 hours a day, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're done, man. We did it. We knocked out a show. We gave you a scoop.
That was fun. I'm glad we did it. I like doing the show. I think we're going to keep doing this, I hope. Fingers crossed.
Well, I think we just went and talked to a realtor about an office, so I think we're going to do more shows,
yes,
actually.
It's happening in 2018, getting bigger and better. We're going to be live in Asheville, North Carolina on February 25th at the Auditorium. I'm going to get the stuff going this week, so look for that. Store.streetfightradio.com is the place to find tickets. It's the place to find Sad Brian shirts. If you're a 3XL, we still got a Lonnie Tunes shirt, so hit us up for that in the store. We also have Fighty Bo shirts that were left over, so if you're looking for any of that, go to store.streetfightradio.com. Also, if you get down with weed, and I talked to somebody in Denver that said the CBD gets activated with weed, so if you're looking to mix something with your weed to make it even different and cooler, give that CBD a shot. We sell an isolate that you can vape, you can smoke, you can also cook it into like a fat, like butter or oil. Coconut oil is a good way to go. We have vape juice, and we got this body butter, which I'm a big fan of. Brian's going to give it a shot. He'll give you the report next week on what he thinks. We also have our monthly subscriptions. Kratom is still rocking and rolling. It's legal. It kind of seems it's a stalwart. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to keep sending it out as long as we can. You can go to patreon.com/streetfightradio. $1 a month gets you our bonus audio show, gets you that bonus feed. $3 a month gets you a digital copy of our zine. We get exclusive writing and art. You can print it all out. We got a Valentine's coming out this month. So if you sign up for the zine, we're getting it printed and we'll have them out in February. You'll be able to print out street fight zines that are more along, you know, the vaporwave type vibes of Valentine's. It's some cool shit. I'm excited to put it out there. We got some shit from Secret Awesome, Secret Flotsam on Twitter, Imagineering, and old Kate Whitco, Twitter's good girl. She also did one, so it'll be good stuff. And we're going to keep trying to spread some sort of anarchy across the edges of the flat earth, all the way to the ice wall, back and forth. We're going to shake things up. And if you're into that, come along with us for the ride. Subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podcast, Google Play, Spotify someday. We are Street Fight. Peace. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my old man looks good. Wednesday just don't go. Thursday goes too slow. That scene.